Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back into the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number two. I am Jim Galante, along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. And Dustin, between segments there, you and I were having a conversation essentially about what a difference a year makes. A year ago, remember, no spring practice, just the whole summer, spring, summer, and even fall routine was messed up. This is almost like, almost back to normalcy here, and it seems to have had a huge effect on the Penn State football program.
Yeah, I think my point was, you know, it was almost like the programs that really took all the safety stuff and really minded their P's and Q's when it came to temperature checks and practices. And you know, James Franklin had said in the past, you know, quarterbacks didn't throw to wide receivers until like 2 weeks before the season last year. That was how seriously Penn State took all the COVID protocols, and that goes all the way back to spring too. And you look at some of the things it required to take that stuff seriously was very much running counter to building a good, consistent, ready to compete football team. And I think there are some programs that you could definitely look and see that stuff. And it feels like a cop out or a crutch or something like that, not making excuses for the way Penn State started last year. But I think there are some teams that took it seriously and some teams that didn't really change all that much when it came to the way that they practiced and lifted weights and approached that stuff. And those are teams that maybe fared a little bit better than they would otherwise. But, you know, and it falls into the context of this conversation because we talked about position changes at the end of quarter one, where would Penn State really have been able to experiment the way that they've experimented with some of these potential moves? And the answer is no. And Penn State wouldn't have been able to do a lot of things that they're doing without being back to a somewhat normal routine.
I think you're right. And we forget also, and I'm guilty of this, I'll often say, you know what, when you start making excuses for Penn State's program because of COVID, well, it wasn't all apples to apples in comparison of programs last year. We forget that there were schools that did get their spring practice in, and specifically down south where the weather was conducive to getting a spring practice in earlier than when the shutdown happened. So there were teams that did get their spring practice in, and I think it did make a difference. Circling now back to Penn State and, you know, the 2021 spring season, where there's been a lot of interesting things going on, a lot of changes. We spent the first segment talking about the defensive backfield. Dustin, I want to move up a step to the linebackers. If it was the cornerback room number one most interesting, I think in many ways linebacker number two, we had many changes, and I believe it started a few weeks ago when James Franklin was asked about Curtis Jacobs, and essentially he said, well, if we had a game tomorrow, Curtis Jacobs would be a starter.
Yeah, it's jarring in the sense that Penn State had three starters coming back. But it's less jarring when you look at what Curtis Jacobs is capable of. And when you really consider the performance of that group as a whole last year, I think you had only one of the starting three linebackers. It was at the position that they probably should be at long term. I don't think Jesse Luketa, in a perfect world, you want him playing in space very often. But with Micah Parsons opting out and him, you know, simply just being the best option at that point in time, that's where he was. And I think you saw Brandon Smith, well, he's gone from the strong side to the weak side. I think that's going to better fit his capabilities as a player. And so Curtis Jacobs slotting in as the guy that you asked to play in space the most often makes all the sense in the world because he moves the best out of all these guys. And I don't know if it's particularly close how he moves relative to these other guys. It squeezes either Jesse Luketa or Ellis Brooks out. It probably puts them in a situation where they're competing for the middle linebacker role, which this time last year, that's exactly what we expected to be happening, was those guys competing for that inside job. And now James Franklin hinted over the weekend at some vague type of position change for Jesse Luketa, and he didn't really go into details about what that meant. But to me, it's either taking that very literally and saying he's going to be an inside linebacker, or maybe it's something different. And I think maybe last year brought on the realization that Jesse Luketa, we don't really want him operating in space as often as he was last year. Maybe he is better in closer quarters. Maybe he is better when he's kind of constantly in contact with, say, an offensive tackle. Maybe he might be better as a defensive end. He is a big, strong kid who might not be that far away from being a pretty competitive defensive end. Again, this is just speculation because Franklin didn't elaborate, but to me, it seems to make a lot of sense. And if that's the move, that suggests that not only is Curtis Jacobs ready to start, but that the next layer of linebackers, that maybe they feel really good about Kobe King and maybe they feel really good about Tyler Elsden. Otherwise, I don't think you feel good about moving Jesse Luketa. Again, we're just kind of speculating on what Franklin was implying there.
Well, we're speculating, but we know, Dustin, if you announce it that he's moving a defensive end, it won't be long before James Franklin makes that same announcement. Interesting, though, if you look at his height, weight, it does appear to be no different than what you see in the defensive end room.
Yeah, and it'll be a little bit of a transition. Again, assuming that that's kind of where we might see Luketa, I think it's an exciting move. I think just from a temperament and his physical play and what his strengths are as a player, I don't want to use the term lumbering, but he just wasn't the most fluid mover at linebacker. I thought he was fine in that position, but if you want him to be more than fine, and James Franklin, you know, sort of implied best for the team / best for Jesse Luketa's longer term future, if you want him to be to kind of excel, maybe this would be a move that makes a lot of sense. I don't know if you make that transition and you see Luketa make an immediate impact as a starter or anything, but he would be an interesting addition to that defensive end room. Somebody who's played, it's very similar to Keaton Ellis moving to safety. Like, he might not be the best option at his new position, but this is an experienced guy who we would feel good about putting out there, even if it is at a new position.
And if you do move him, say, to defensive end, which is just conjecture, it does mean you have to have the next wave of linebackers come up and become part of the rotation. An interesting name, you mentioned it, and James Franklin brought up, was Tyler Elsden, and he brought him the name up on his own, which I think is always important, you know, when he's not asked directly about a guy, but brings that name up on his own. And I thought it was also interesting that the context of the discussion was watching Tyler Elsden comfortable going from sideline to sideline, that his movement, this isn't just another plug up the running game type linebacker, that his movement is better than maybe we thought.
And I think that's the number one message that fans would want or need to hear about Tyler Elsden. There wasn't much question to me about his instincts and his ability as a pure linebacker. You know, he was an old school throwback looking kid coming out of North Schuylkill. And I had no doubts that when it came to the traditional linebacker duties, that he was going to embrace that and do a good job. He was going to be able to get north, south and be, you know, a nice linebacker. The question, you know, with him just kind of came down to how gifted is he athletically? How much range is he going to have? And I think Franklin went out of his way to answer that question before the question was even asked. So I think it's telling that he did that. But to hear that he's making those rangy type plays, and Franklin talked about how much faster and more explosive he's gotten, I think all of that is very good news for this linebacker rotation and goes a long way toward answering the biggest question about Tyler Elsden. We didn't really know what to make of him in this conversation for the top six in the linebacker rotation. Hearing that physically he's making the grade, to me, makes him all but a shoe-in in that top six. And I think the combination of him showing that and answering those questions, because I'm sure the coaching staff still had questions about that, and Kobe King getting maybe not as much praise as his brother is, but getting praise in the sense of him being ready for the duties of being a college football linebacker, suggests that maybe you had some flexibility at linebacker now with these two guys coming on the way that they have.
And the other part to it with Tyler Elsden, and I've brought this up before on our show, is we talked in terms so much about the 2019 and 20 recruiting classes as guys with upside, but they weren't going to step in their first year here. This is an example of a player who is ready to make that next step. It at least appears to be that way.
Yeah, and I think it's big. You know, I don't think you could take Tyler Elsden's development for granted, per se. He was getting more attention from National Recruiting Services toward the end of the recruiting cycle, but he did need to validate his athleticism some. And I think it sounds like he's done that. And it's big. It's big for Penn State's linebacker room for sure.
If there's been questions about this Penn State defense, it's been along the defensive line, and I probably should have allowed more time for this discussion, but it seems like they are ready to solidify it. I think up front, starting with the tackles, P.J. Musifer put on weight. He said he felt he needed that to help stop the running game, and it seems that he's pretty comfortable with Akeem Beeman next to him.
And as they should be. I think that's a really interesting pair of defensive tackles. We talked about it last week, how there's not going to be a whole lot of separation between, you know, number one and two and then three and four and five and six on that defensive tackle rotation. That's exactly what they want. If Beeman is that explosive, penetrating force at defensive tackle, and I think P.J. Mustipher will be able to do anything that you ask him to do. If you ask him to get after the quarterback, he can do it. If you ask him to plug up holes and occupy three guys so the linebackers can run free, he can do that too. And I think that's an interesting development. Then you throw in, you know, Fred Hansard's played a lot of football, and you have Tangelo coming in from Duke, and you've got a bunch of other young options there at defensive tackle. Devon Ellis, I think, is ready to play a role in that rotation. This is a really good group that, yeah, they do need to kind of prove it on the big stage, and Hakeem Beeman does need to show that he's ready for a heavier number of snaps, ready for higher expectations. But I think on paper, that tackle rotation looks really good, and I think that end rotation is starting to come around a little bit, and it'll be interesting to see how they start off training camp here in the next month or two.
It really will be, and I think this is another place where we have to go look at our buddy, the transfer portal. Not only Derek Tangelo at tackle, but Arnold Ibikiti at defensive end. Probably neither one of them is going to be a superstar, but they are going to be in that two-man, two-deep rotation at their respective positions, and that can make all the difference in the world. All right, Dustin, that is it for quarter number two. Stick around. We're going to continue this conversation in quarter number three.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the goat.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.